You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, Bray, welcome back to the Oh No Disc Golf Podcast. What's new with you?
Hey, boys. What's new? I have a now 11-month-old baby, and I've been planning the national champs for disc golf in New Zealand for next year. It's happening in the first weekend of March, just on the back of summer. Aside from that, I've just been representing Innova all year and working 8 to 5 and just living a busy oldie life. Yeah.
11-month-old plus working all day. Yep, that'll be an entire life right there.
Yeah. And then throw some disc golf in there as well.
Yeah.
So you say on the back of summer, what is the rest of the year after that look like for you guys out there?
It's probably when the tour kicks off, to be honest, in New Zealand. They've got a few events over summer. And then throughout April, May, June, there's a good run of events, so tournaments all up and down the country. Sort of how that transpires. We just play nationals, get that out of the way. We've got another major straight after that, and then we fire off into tournament season, really.
Dang. So that's like the beginning of the main touring season.
Almost. The season starts at winter and goes through to the autumn. So nationals is at the end of the tour almost, and then we have a couple of tournaments, and then it just kicks off again straight away. There's not really much break.
So you just have
no off season anymore.
The off season's almost at the moment, to be honest. There's like a month of bugger all happening.
So there's nothing that new going on in the area with it being like the off season.
Not in the tournament side of things. Like on a casual level, we've just installed a new course down here. Because if you remember last time we chatted, I just told you about how there was a pitch and putt course,
right?
No holes over 250 feet, pretty much, and that's what we all played on down here. So we've just installed a new championship one that's on a golf course, and the longest hole on that's like 1150 feet or something.
Okay.
Holy yeah, shit. Par 5, obviously, and
hopefully
it comes under a gold level course. On UDisc they have different courses like red, blue, white, and gold. And gold's the ones where the average hole length is over 400 feet or whatever. So
very fun.
Yeah, so that's our new playground to practice and get better and
challenge yourself.
Oh, big time. I haven't even shot under par on that course yet. That's how hard it is.
What's the biggest number you took on the par 5?
I think I've had sixes on it every time. There's actually the reason why is because there's OB about 120 meters, 400 feet. Ish off the tee, just to the left on the right hand hyzer bailout, is a golf green. I've landed on round I've played on that course. Every single round I've bailed out into that OB, and I've ended up having to take a six. So
that's always a way to start it.
It's just what you want.
So the New Zealand National Championships, what courses is it playing on?
It's playing on the same course that I was just talking about, except a few of the holes are different to the permanent course, because we have full use of the golf course uninterrupted for 4 days without any golfers there. So we can, you know, play the opposite ways of fairways, et cetera. And then it's also a hybrid of the little course that's in the park, safarying a lot of those holes and making them a lot tougher. to bring it up to a B tier, so that the amateur side of Nationals is playing as a B tier and the professional side is playing as an A tier. So it's two 18-hole layouts.
Big tournament for everyone sure. involved.
It's going to be huge. We can't wait. We're at 260-something registered. And the biggest in New Zealand's history before that is only 160. So, we're trying to blow that out of the water. There's about 50 people coming from overseas, which is fantastic.
What countries?
Australia from? Mostly, because you know that they're our wee neighbour, and there's about five or six Americans coming over, and Nate Perkins is one of them.
Ooh,
yeah.
Hey, friend of the show, Nate Perkins.
What else? There's some from Germany, Belgium, Finland, England. Yeah, just a nice little mix. So and they're all playing different divisions as well. Like the current Pro Masters champion from Europe, the whole European Tour, Martin, he's coming over to play. So he's probably one to watch out for in the MP40s. And it's just shaping up to be like epic. Like the battles are going to start unfolding in all these divisions is awesome.
Yeah, it sounds like it. What is it called? Oh, I just slipped my mind. Are they doing coverage of it?
Yep. So we have three film crews for this event.
That's awesome.
Yeah. We have a local crew from Invercargill. They're going to cover the FPO division. So we have the former five-time Aussie champ, Cassie. She's represents Innova, and she's coming over. She just lost to Jennifer Allen at the Aussie Disc Golf Championships just recently. And so they're covering FPO. We have Flexline Media, who's the big
okay, that's the one I remember.
They're the big coverage company from New Zealand. They do really well. I actually don't even know what they're going to cover yet. They're going to float, and they're going to cover the closest division, I believe, over the weekend. So they'll cover a feature card, most likely an MPO. But then if there's a battle heating up an MP40, I believe that they're going to go cover that. And
that's awesome, because they should.
For sure.
And we have MDG Media out of Finland, who cover the entire European tour, flying over to New Zealand to cover our nationals and a couple other tournaments while they're over here. So that's huge for us. It's really exciting.
That is extremely exciting.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And they're covering a few tournaments, and they're covering South Island Champs, which is about a month before us. And Simon Lazotte's coming over to play that. And Avery Jenkins is actually the TD for that tournament. So that's a big Disc Mania collaboration going on up there. Yeah. There's some shit happening in here in New Zealand. It's pretty cool.
It's exciting.
Right. So out of all the courses that are going to be a part of the national championships, which one's your
personal? Definitely the pro course. It's the black and gold layout is the pro course. It's just an absolute beast of distance and technicality. I didn't want to take away from the people that can't throw overly far, like myself. You know, I wanted to keep the technicality side of it in there, being on a golf course. But the AM course, we're putting a lot of work in to try and make every shot count. You know what I mean? It's a lot shorter in length, but we want to make all those swings, those two-shot swings happen. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Well, yeah. If you make any type of mistake, make them pay.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's the national title is on the line here, so we need to – we want to test the people's abilities, not just have them have a walk in the park for the weekend.
I agree. I feel like that's most tournaments and places that you go now.
Try not to make too many unnatural OBs as well. So try and use the gardens and the park that we have to create those natural out of bounds is, and those natural, those like almost a natural Mando that you need to play this way rather than forcing a player to play that way.
Yes. Just, yeah, just then you can see people too, like Simon will just like throw over everything that you had planned out. but
yeah.
He'll do it anyway. Yeah, for most people, that sounds awesome.
I do remember seeing some of the pros whinge not too long ago, about the Mandos and the routes that they are being forced to take rather than letting the players decide which way they want to play the whole. But I think they have their place. That's just me, though.
You have a favorite hole
for the Nationals coming up?
Yeah. On that course.
Probably the double island. It's an 80 meter carry to land safe. So not too far. 280 meters, probably 300 feet, give or take. Mm-hmm. To land safe, and then the landing zone, the first one is very generous. And then the second one, you have to cross over OB the whole way and then land in a 10-meter circle.
Ooh, okay.
Which we will hay bale. We're going to hay bale the circle and you know, leave some gaps in the hay bales so you can't rely on just crashing into them. You have to land your disc softly or spike it. And it's all hazard around it, though, so we're not going to make you go back to where you were. You can still play from where you are. You're just gaining an extra stroke for a bit less
hazard. Yeah,
I like that.
Yeah, hazard. Yeah. So we'll definitely see some threes on that hole. A lot of three. Yeah, it's honestly going to be threes and fives. I doubt there'll be any fours, and it's a par four. So it's going to be that. a lot of birdie and bogey fest.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's by far my favorite hole. We haven't even played it. Can't play it yet because it runs the opposite way up a golf fairway. So we have to save it for when we're allowed to set up the course.
It's got to be tough to know. It's just waiting there.
Yeah. Oh, you know, we can always practice it if there's no golfers around.
That's fun.
And now how long have you been working on this, like planning and
as of now, probably 7 months, 8 months deep already, and we're still just under 3 months away from the weekend.
So it's like a whole year, almost a pretty whole much, year project. Yep.
We hosted a major earlier this year as almost like a warm up for next year's event, knowing that we were going to go for the Nationals. Like we tended for it and we won it. So we
what
pretty
was
much
one thing that you learned from that experience?
Last this the tournament we've just run.
Yes.
Our biggest learning from that was making sure lunches are available all day running on tea times, because a lot of people missed out and we weren't happy about that.
Oh, all right. I feel like that's such a small thing. But
it's a small thing, but
that pissed people off, yeah.
From where we live in Southland and in New Zealand, there's like this thing called Southern hospitality. So we you know, it's just like almost a pride thing that the people that you're hosting are looked after. And our like the food was top notch, but the timing of it, we fucked up pretty much. And that's something we're going to fix for next year. But apart from that, like all our feedback was good. The course played well. We had to do it in COVID restrictions at the time because that's what we were facing. So we weren't allowed more than we're outside, you weren't allowed more than 100 people at an event at one time. So we ran it on tee times and there was never 100 on the course at once, and it all worked out. So
very cool.
But yeah, little things matter the most, I believe.
Yeah. I always just think about that. Like, you did something very cool. Well, what did you learn from it? Yeah, that's my, well, I try and take away from pretty much anything I do.
Of course.
And I fuck up a lot. So it's,
that's it. You're allowed to make 100. You're allowed to make 100 fuck ups. Just don't make 200 of the same one. Like, you know, don't make the same 100 ones twice.
That's a good one.
I like it. That's philosophy. Sure.
And sorry, I have had to run away a couple times. The fucking dog keeps barking.
That's all right. We haven't heard it.
Yeah. It'll come up on the spot, right. Podcast, yeah. But that's all right.
Drink every time you hear a bark.
Yeah.
What's the players pack looking like for the amateurs? Got them nailed down yet or still kind of figuring out?
Yeah, so it's all sorted. We took in, I'm not sure how it works in the States, but in New Zealand, player packs were always included in registration, no matter what division you played in. And I've just been around for a few years, I've noticed that people sometimes don't care for them. And the registration fees can be brought down by allowing people the option to have a player pack rather than forcing it onto them. So we took that approach,
right?
And Inniva have sorted us out with a shit ton of stuff for the player packs, but it was optional for players to have. It was an extra, I think it was an extra $50 on their registration fee. So if they didn't want it, you know, it saved them $50. They got in, they didn't miss the sellout, blah, blah, blah. So we got 150 people mm-hmm. still wanted them. And they are getting like I don't want to give too much away in case they listen, but they're getting a tournament stamp discs. We got some sweet discs coming over from Inniva. We really wanted 200 Halo discs, but they sort of said that's a bit expensive. And we were like, fair enough. So we're just getting some, we're getting a lot of color glows. So we're getting like color glow. Hey,
that's cool. That's better. That's better than Halo anyway.
We're getting like color glow Firebirds, color glow Eagles, color glow.
Fuck yeah.
Destroyers, like, oh, so cool. Drawstring bags, they get some player cards, they get stickers, they get a $25 Inniva gift voucher to use, US dollar voucher. I feel like there's other stuff, but yeah, that's just for now. And
that's a sick one.
I'm lucky in a way that I'm part of the Inniva team, so I talked to the manager of the team and asked if he could throw in some extra stuff for us, and he said he did. So I'm looking forward to that turning up, because he threw in an extra 200 different lots of like swag for the players, so that they will throw them in all the player uh-huh. picks as well.
Fuck yeah,
sounds like dude. I mean, if they decide to do that, getting fucking hooked up,
yeah, for sure. Made it worth their that extra money that they paid, for sure.
Yeah.
I got nothing against Halo plastic, but Color Glow is some of the best. Inniva's Color Glow is some of the best plastic.
I love Halo, but I love Color Glow as well.
Yeah, Color Glow is my jam. So in the United States, if you've watched any of the coverage, we've had the biggest per tournament payouts the last 2 years. Every year they top it. Is that what we're going to be seeing out in New Zealand this year? Is the biggest payouts of like a New Zealand tournament?
For sure. I'm just quickly trying to pull it up. So previously in New Zealand, I think the biggest payout was $6,500 over a whole tournament, which is still a lot. Still a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
still a bit. We've actually announced the payouts already, just via our social media event pages and stuff. But they're all subject to change pending players withdrawing from those divisions, etc. But we are looking at $20,000 New Zealand dollars for our total payout. I'm just going to do some really quick Googling of NZD to USD, because it's a big difference. And
is it? Cool beans. I had no idea.
20,000 New Zealand dollars works out to be 13,000 US dollars. So we got a $13,000 payout.
All right. So you doubled it.
We doubled it.
Fuck yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah, dude. Congratulations.
Thanks.
That's cool news.
Really wanted to do it. I know the game's getting a bit more progressive and stuff like that. So, like, we only have nine ladies in the FPO division, but we're still going to pay out $1,000 for first for that, and then pay down to fifth.
Yeah.
And then in the MPO, it's $2,200 for first, paying down to 18th. So we're trying to...
Heck yeah.
This little paycheck.
Yeah. It's almost funny because the two, like if you were betting, the two people that you would probably put some money on to win the MPO division are both remaining as amateurs. Hmm. And then because it's an A tier, they are shit out of luck. Yeah. So imagine, you know, if they come first and second, then third place is taking home a pretty sweet $2,200 because it's A tier. So we just drop it down. Right. Uh-huh. So, yeah. But, yeah.
Even if they win, they're not going to pay cash. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I forgot.
It is rough, but I understand it.
Right, for sure.
Yeah, it should have just went pro earlier.
Without giving...
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh. Yep. I was just going to say, without giving out too much information, you got some pretty sweet trophies lined up too, then,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, trophies, they're almost one of a kind. So, I'll try to do a visual picture for everybody. It's a timber plaque about a foot tall, and it has a carbon fiber disc on it with a bearing that spins around, and it's got PowerShell engraved, like lettering to show, you know, what the division is, etc. We have like something like 14 or 15 divisions, and we have those trophies for all of them.
That sounds really cool.
They're really nice trophies for sure.
So, do you think you could take those carbon fiber discs off and throw them, or do you think that would?
I mean, you could. So well. I can't imagine that'd fly very well, but you could.
You could. It probably wouldn't land. It might fly. Maybe landing would be the problem.
That's right. I hope they don't. I hope they don't come off, to be honest, because they're stuck on with a ball bearing so they can spin around. So.
Right, yeah.
Oh, shit.
So, once the coverage comes out, what are some names we should be looking for? Some big names, some New Zealand names, some other people that are going to be there that we should just keep our eyes on?
Coverage, I'm just going to quickly load up. I already know the names off the top of my head anyway, but we're looking at, from New Zealand, you're looking at Jaden Watkinson. He is the current New Zealand champion. He's off to play the Champions Cup in the States next year, because if you win your national championships, you get an invite to the Champions Cup, because it's obviously the international major. Okay. Levi Stout, if you remember that name, we talked about last time. So yeah. he's past the 1,000 rating mark now, and he's still climbing. He's still winning. I think talking to him not so long ago, he's played about 14 events or something in the last 12 months, and he's not been outside the top three in any of them. And he's won like 12 of them, or 10 or 12 of them. Jesus. Yeah.
Wow.
Just dominant.
He's a very dominant 16-year-old disc golfer, man. He is.
I was going to say, I knew he was young, but I don't remember how old.
So he's remaining amateur because they're off to Junior Worlds next year, and I think he might play AM Worlds as well because there's not too long a gap between them. So I think that's the plan, is they're going next year and they're going to go the year after as well, and I would not be surprised if he doesn't win it or at least come in the top three at both of them, right, for sure. You know?
Sounds like he's got a chance for sure.
He's so cool and collected that the mental game he's got is unreal.
Well, I always think that his rating, I think, would be better too if he's been playing in the States as long as he's been playing. I think he'd have even a better rating if he was in the States the whole time.
Drew Gibson just came over to New Zealand and played a tournament, and he absolutely annihilated the course and the competitors. Levi didn't play it, and I really wish he did, because it would have been really interesting to see how he stacked up against.
Yes, right, for sure.
Scott Stokely's in the country at the moment, and he's doing some clinics, and hopefully he's going to play in our league that we're running. So it'd be cool to see Levi go up against him in that.
Hell yeah.
Oh yeah, that'd but, be fun.
Carrying on with like the people to look out for. Jackson Sullivan's another big name in New Zealand. He's one of the big boys at RPM Discs. So if any of your listeners are into the RPM Discs, Jackson's one of the guys that's behind all the flying birds. And we have one of the Aussie champions. He's coming over, Dylan Feldman. So I'd be looking out for him too in the MPO division. Looking at the other divisions, they're just the Masters is can't look past Martin Duiken or Mikey Yu. Mikey's a New Zealander. He's always at the top of the game. He's an Innova boy as well. And then in the FPO, Cassie Sweeten out of Australia, the team Innova. She's like a 5-time Aussie champ. And she will be going up against Hayley Flintoff from New Zealand, and she's a multiple-time New Zealand champ as well. So that's going to be a really good battle, and they'll both be on the feature card and likely the league cards for FPO as well. So we'll get to watch that whole battle.
Oh, yeah. Right. That's awesome.
I think that'll be tight. I think that'll be the best, tightest battle of the whole weekend probably, because there's only a few points difference in their ratings. So
got you.
Be very, very close.
That always is exciting.
I had a question, lost it.
Sorry. I start waffling, eh?
No, dude, you're so good. That's what you're here for.
Yeah.
Yeah, brought you on to talk, so.
Yeah, if you were just quiet the whole time, it'd be really awkward. It'd
be a shit podcast, eh? I'm just loading up on some afternoon Jack Daniels. Keeps me going. Keeps me talking.
Okay.
So you've been with Innova since about March, I believe, right?
Yeah, pretty much. It was when I started playing tournaments for them.
So majority of the year, what's your bag looking like after almost a year with
Innova? It's looking well beaten, to be fair. I haven't played a lot of disc golf this year, but just due to you know, having a newborn baby and stuff like that.
Figured that baby would get in the way.
Yeah, but that's okay. I'm, she's almost at that age now where I'm a bit more comfortable with playing a bit more, and you know, she's not absolutely dependent on us as she was at the start, because she was a few weeks early and whatnot. But my bag is looking very similar. I'm still putting with the Yeti Pro AVRs. Albeit with a new color. I got rid of my blue ones and I'm onto the white ones.
Ooh.
Big step.
Just out of necessity? No,
just out of how cool they looked, because they were blank stamped with the team stamp, and they just looked really cool. And I got four of them.
Yeah.
I got four look of good, them feel in my good. Order. So I went, oh, well, I'm going to shit can these light blue ones and move on to the white ones. And I use all my blue ones for practice. Whatever that is, and I only bagged two mid ranges, just a Stingray and a Rock 3.
Okay.
Just different.
I mean, with those big bomber courses, it sounds like you have don't even need a need for
almost mid-range. Don't now on the practice, like on my big course anyway. Very, there's nothing I can't reach with a pig that I could reach with a Rock 3. So. And then it's just Leopard 3s, Destroyers, and T-Red 3s, really. They're just my workhorses. Okay. Yeah, real simple. Nipple. Just different plastics and weights, pending the conditions, and that's it. I try not to have 20 different molds in the bag anymore, because it's so inconsistent.
Right.
You've kind of figured out what you like now.
Yeah, for sure. I got this data list that's just a weapon, because I was throwing Hades as like my long distance flip up shots before the Innova thing. And then I found the data list to be probably the closest Hades disc in that.
Yeah, sure.
With it, I'm not even trying to sound like cocky or anything, but I can get that thing like 120 meters without effort almost, because it just flips to flat and it does this perfect little S and it, that's it. And it's so, it's really, really reliable, just not in a wind.
And then, sorry, 2 seconds.
Oh, yeah.
And I know you guys have the correct, meters is the correct thing. How far is that in us stupid?
In the Fahrenheit world.
Dude, I know. I agree. It's so stupid. We should have, I don't understand what the fuck we're doing.
If you would like to work out the feet to meters distance, it is 0.3048 feet to a meter.
So easy.
Yeah, really easy to do. It's almost, you pretty much just times it by three or divide by three.
I was gonna say, it's like just over
120, 400 feet, give or take.
There you go.
There you go.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
So you kind of hit the go-tos, but what are discs that you see as like super popular with Innova throwers that just, it's not something that you've ever meshed with, rather it doesn't feel good in the hand or you don't like the way it flies for you? Any discs like that that you're just like, yeah, there's no way.
There's a couple. That. First one's probably a Boss. I've got four or five of them. Champion, Star, and Pro Plastic. And I've just never been able to click with it. It might honestly just be too much speed for my arm, but I just haven't found them to be, I just haven't found them to be what everybody says they are. I got some Star ones that honestly would like flip up and turn, and I'm like, that's not what a Boss should be doing. And then I've got Pro Plastic ones that are super duper beefy. I don't know if it's the runs or what, but they just, it wasn't gelling like Destroyers. I've got different plastics and they do those different things. But the bosses wouldn't. I'm not big on the mid-ranges, like the Lion or the Mako 3. They just not quite in my, I don't know, it's not like the disc, it's just me, I don't gel with them. So I just stick to the Rock 3s, and I have different plastics Rock 3s, like DX all the way through to bloody Star and Champion. So that'd be the two main ones, Bosses and Makos or whatever.
That's the kind of with the Mako is I don't like anything that starts off dead straight. I prefer to have something that's kind of more understable or something that's slightly more stable and beat it in till it's dead
straight. I honestly think like and the Nova and the Mako are the same disc, is that I'm not good enough to throw it, is what I honestly think the problem is. And
I'm sure you're fine.
Because I they don't do what I expect them to do. And I think if I field worked them and I used them, I would be okay, but I just never gelled with them straight away. And I honestly think it's because the disc requires a good throw. Like what for an amateur person or a player beginning, it's a perfect disc. But for somebody who knows what they're doing, I think you need to know what you're doing. Yeah, touchy. And that's why I use the Stingray, because I know that it's super flippy and the hyzer angle determines pretty much how straight it's going to go.
Yeah. Any runs of disc that you just kind of absolutely fell in love with that it's been hard to replace or find backups for?
The Raptor Destroyers. The Ricky Destroyers that had the Raptor stamp, so not the Socky Bot ones, the dinosaur looking stamp. Do you know the one I'm talking about?
Yeah.
So I reckon that they were my favorite run of Destroyers, and I had a few of them, and I lost them at the same tournament.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to keep an eye out because they sell for like $15, $16 around here. Like just on random Facebook places, you can find Ricky Raptor Destroyers for like under $20. That'd
be my favorite run. I don't throw a hell of a lot of Firebirds, but the 2020 ones were really good too.
The Sexton ones,
2020 ones. I really liked them.
That's also another one that not many people have liked.
They haven't. Here.
No, that's 2021's has been a lot of like big Sexton Firebird throwers, like least favorite run from the people that I talked to.
It's probably the same consensus over here. It was just one of those ones that I liked.
Yeah, I thought they were fine. I don't know.
I found them to be a lot. The glide on them was very a lot better. Yeah, I liked it.
Well, I think that's what I guess was their complaint. It's not a Firebird. Not like the Sexton Firebird that they were expecting. I guess, yeah.
People wouldn't moan about anything, though.
It's so true.
Why we do podcasts to whinge and moan about stuff.
We were just talking about how Eric, we need to make an entire show about it, like all of just Eric complaining.
Just air out everything.
Yeah, get it all out. But the problem is I get through one thing and then I'm, you know, I'm good. I complained, I moved on, and now so the show's over already after.
And then we said, we'll have to go look back through the episodes. It sounds like way too much work. It's just
semantics and hassle and effort.
Shit. Wow. We're just breezing through everything.
It's good,
right? That's good. It's not bad. It's not a bad thing.
I don't think it's a bad thing. Do you have any big highlights of the year? I know you said you didn't get to spend a whole lot of time disc golfing, but any aces?
No, I don't even think I've had an ace. I haven't had an ace this year, so that means I need to get to the short course and try and get one.
Just keep playing.
No, I haven't had it.
Throw two races
this year. My favorite, like my highlight tournament or event, was probably an unsanctioned event that we have in Roxburgh every year. It's coming up in about a month's time, middle of summer, like 32 to 35 degree days. I don't know what that is in Fahrenheit. Sorry. It's probably pushing
hot. That's all I know.
Like 90s. 90s.
Okay.
Probably 90s.
Yeah. Sweating is all I know. Yeah.
It's played on a golf course that has fuck all trees and there's not many places to seek shelter, but you know, you can have a drink, and if you're there early enough in the morning, you can get a golf cart. Because it's unsanctioned, it's just first in, first served, and I got that golf cart this year and it was a lifesaver.
But That's awesome.
It was probably my funnest event. We just had such a good day out there playing, and I played pretty well. I didn't play well enough to make the final little round of they have a RAS round for the final four players or whatever, where it's just full noise the whole time while you're throwing as loud as possible. But that would have been cool to play, but nah, that's probably my favorite tournament. I haven't done overly well in any sanctioned golf this year, so I put it down to a lack of practice and probably a lack of energy as well. Just so run down, but I'm cruising now, you know, sleep's picking back up, and I'll be looking to put some work in over the summer break. And
yeah, once your kid gets like over a year, that's when it starts to really actually like become a person, you know. Before that, it's just like a fucking crying machine, crying and poop machine. It's just
this little grizzle thing that can't be left alone for 2 minutes. So. But I'm loving it. I love being a dad. It's awesome. Come home every day and she says data and stuff now. So
oh, fuck yeah.
Gets me going.
That's awesome, man.
So what age do you get her ready to play disc golf?
Trying to work that out. She's got an arm on her. She loves throwing the ball around the lounge. I've been putting discs in her hand. She just sucks on them. So I haven't quite figured it.
So you got to make sure they're new.
It's all experience.
Yeah. Just get used to that feel. But I'll drag her out maybe a year's time or something when she's walking.
Maybe she's just like testing the plastics. That's what it is.
That's right. She does like my DX Beast. She has been her go-to at the moment.
Okay. That's a great starter.
It is.
That should be everybody's first disc.
DX Beast or DX Leopard 3 or something.
Yeah. All right, well, no one likes to talk about them, but in the light of the show, what are the oh-no moments from the year? Or at least one. We got to hear one.
Probably most of my tournament rounds would be oh-no moments.
Oh gosh.
Oh no. Nah, so I
not bad, I did, that bad.
No. Biggest oh no is probably I was on lead card on a 1 day event. So round one I played well, made the lead card, and then round two I proceeded to go birdie free for 16 holes. Wow. And then I made like this 35, like 100-footed jump putt across OB water and drained it to make a birdie. And then I birdied the last hole to finish the round like one under or something. And that round though would be the oh no moment, because I made the lead card and all I had to do was just not miss 16 birdies in a row. Not miss 16 birdies in a row, which I did. That's probably
a is it like a birdie or die course?
No, not necessarily. It was just there was
in your mind it's a birdie or die course.
Yeah, there was about 8 or 9 holes that were fairly gimmies that I proceeded to par. So
gotcha.
Having to try and fight every single hole to just get one of them, and then thinking that I was going to finish the whole round without one, and then drain the 100-footer. So that whole round was a no no. There's a lot of OB on that round too.
That's tough.
It's so sad hitting that sweet putt though, and just being so mad about it still.
Where was that like, all day? Come on.
Where was that? Come on, earlier?
What were you doing?
I did erupt with a big sigh of relief and a laugh, and then pretty much cried walking up to the basket because I knew it didn't matter.
Well, I mean,
yeah, uh-huh.
It's all learning.
Oh, for sure.
If life was perfect, the lows and highs would just be fucking boring.
It would be nothing.
Not to get all existential.
That's all the questions I have written down. So now we got to go off.
I have a question. So the New Zealand Championships, how many rounds is it?
Three days, one round a day, 54 holes, just pretty straightforward. You know, full day of practice on the Thursday, and then Friday, Saturday, Sunday's game day.
And you're looking out 3 months now to that?
Yeah, third, fourth, and fifth of March are the tournament dates.
Perfect.
Yep. And then after that,
it'll be here before we know it.
And then after that, I'm 100% taking a step back from the ground, like the behind the scenes side of things. And I've told everybody that down here that matters. That I'm just going to be slowing down a bit on that, because I need to focus on my game rather than.
Have you enjoyed the background kind of stuff? Like, tell me about that a little bit. Like, what do I do?
So like, there's a national board for disc golf. I'm on that currently. I'm probably like 80 to 100 hours deep already, just in nationals planning. Like,
that's you.
8 p.m. till
It's like almost is like
3-4 hours a night just on the computer, getting shit ready, working out schedules and formats and et cetera, et cetera. So yeah, it takes a toll. And then it's almost like politics or whatever, you know, like not everyone's happy and people make noise. And I'm not a fan of doing things and not having people be like appreciative of it.
Yeah.
So I'm just, if you want to make changes and you can do it yourself, almost like it's just the way it is.
Yep.
And there's assholes everywhere.
Yeah, there is. I'm one of them, believe me, but I just,
cool experience though, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I almost encourage anybody to just, that's listening, if they're not a part of the club, to do it. And then if you can, try help wherever you can, because like the volunteer work in the hours, like it's all unpaid, you know what I mean, like it's all it's all off your own back. You're just trying to help grow the sport and like in your area, and then doing that grows it worldwide. Like it's the little things help grow it hugely. So
big time.
Definitely, if you're not a part of it, get to be a part of it, or try to be a part of it. So
and we'll make sure that we feed you well at the end of it, for sure. It's a big fucking thing.
Yeah. And then if you're not a PGA official, do that, because it's a free test, and like you can take it as many times as you want until you pass it. And then once you finally pass it, it costs $10.
You got your
official status. You can run events, you can run leagues, you can do anything. And it's it's all like laid out in front of you how to do all that. Like, it's quite easy to navigate. And it all works out. You know what I mean? Like, you go to enough tournaments, you understand how they run and what things need to be done. And if you're doing the little ones, they don't take a lot of effort, but it can make a lot of difference to a lot of other players.
Love that message.
To help with people who like to complain about stuff, the thing I've told a lot of the people that have complained about just like the little leagues and little tournament that I've ran, I said, I'll listen to all of your complaints, but I need to have like some sort of an answer. Like, if you think there's a way to fix this, tell me how to fix this, and I'll think about that. But if you just complain, I'm not even going to listen to it, like, because
it's not any communication is good communication, whether it's good or bad, but they need to speak up. And then if you're going to speak up, it would be nice to have ideas as well on how to fix things, like you're saying.
Suggestions and ideas.
It doesn't grow or get better without help, like support and teamwork. So
yeah, for sure.
Yep.
So we don't forget, you want to plug where everyone can find you?
Oh yeah, for sure. My social media has been humming this year. I've you know, all my four posts or whatever I've done this year. but no, my Instagram handle is just bray_nzdss. I should be posting more on there. I need to try to.
Don't worry about it. Yeah.
We should too. But Kyle posts a lot, and then he'll stop for a little bit, and I'll just like throw out one every little bit. Yeah, I'm like, Eric's okay, time for another video.
I'll go hard for like a month, and I'm like, fuck this, I can't do it anymore. Done.
But I'm like consistently like every couple weeks. I'm not like consistently every day or it's once a week. It's like every couple weeks I'll get but one out there.
Part of the Innova deal is you're supposed to be doing weekly, fortnightly social media posts, but I do think that's more directed at the people with big followings. Like, it would make, you know, it makes, but you know, it's still nice to fulfill your obligations under the umbrella. So I do need to be sorting that out more.
Yeah.
Thank you, Daddy Innova.
Yeah. Daddy Joe. Oh, Joe Rotan.
Fuck.
No, it's been pretty good. Like, it's not a secret group, but you know, like every team obviously has like their groups. Facebook pages or whatever that you use to communicate.
A way to reach all your
that's team always members. That's always buzzing with stuff, so that's cool. And you know, it's just not, you know, it's just cool. It's just cool. That's probably all I got. It's just cool.
It feels like you're part great of a content. Group. Yeah. That's yeah. right. That's awesome.
Well, it's part of a team. And then like over here we have the team as well. So it's nice. If you do well, you get bonuses with anything. So I would like to try and sort that out too.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Bonuses are always cool.
Especially when they're American dollar bonuses. So they look meh, but then you're like, wait a minute.
Oh. Yeah, hang on a second.
I need to times this number by 1.67 or whatever it is.
Did you have any other social medias you wanted to plug before
we cut you off? Nah, not really. I have a TikTok, but that's up to fuck all now. I don't really know how to make videos and content, so I sort of shit can that.
Same. I tried, and then I was like, this is fucking terrible.
So I don't have a pair of tits to get views anyway. So
exactly. Yep. It's exact. I had the same exact thought.
It's crazy. Like, it's just. It would be cool to have like a good TikTok following of disc golf related things, but it's just, like, I guess it's too niche still to have that.
It's so weird because the TikTok thing, right? They don't even care if you have followers. It's so really, it doesn't fucking matter.
It doesn't.
It's just stupid. It's really dumb.
It is. And I'm guilty of going to the toilet and coming out half an hour later, having spent 30 minutes just swiping my thumb up and down the screen on TikTok.
Oh, fuck yeah. Don't get me wrong. It's not bad to like lose a half hour. For me, it was like cute dog videos.
Oh, I get stuck on like, for some reason it pops up with like crime stories and shit on mine. Like I like that sort of thing.
You must like them.
I do like true crime stuff. It's quite fascinating. But yeah, it'll just be like a 4-minute video about this murder that happened 40 years ago. And I'm like, oh, that's interesting. And then I'll watch the next one.
Yeah. That's how they get you.
Yeah. But I can't tell you one of them now. That's the problem. It's all pointless information. It's in and out.
Having a kid that'll do it too.
Yeah, that does too. But before I do go, I always want to shout out you guys for the support for the tournament. And if anybody's listening that's playing the tournament, we've got some sweet t-shirts coming over for some prizes.
We'll get some pictures up on the
social media channels for that. But I'm not sure what we'll give them out for yet. Maybe you guys can come up with like a prize for what each t-shirt's for or whatever, and we can go from there, like the most unluckiest hole number or biggest score in a hole, or the most oh no moment from the tournament would probably be good.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I'm gonna imagine there's gonna be a few of them. It's the Nationals after all.
Yeah.
It does sound like there's going to be a lot of OB.
Yeah, there should still be a lot of people going OB. Quick oh no moment. I just had a round the other day on the new course, and the Nationals layout hole one is hole one, so it's the same. And it's a par four with like a sweeping dog leg to the right, and it's got one tree in the middle, and I KO'd that tree, landed OB, and took an 8. And I was like, if this is how my national champ starts off, I'm just fucking giving up.
Yeah.
Okay. So you do get a play in the national champ still, even with being like the assistant TD?
I believe that the loophole to it is that because it's an A/B tier, I'm the TD for the B tier event, and the B tier event can play. The A tier side of things, the TD's not playing, so that's fine. And then if for some reason it's not okay, then we have another guy that can, we can put a name to it, but it's honestly just having a name to it, really. Uh-huh. But yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking. I was like, man, you're doing all this work and you might not even get to play. I couldn't remember how the rules.
I'm playing because I never play well at that tournament, but I want to play well at that tournament. So.
You haven't yet. Uh-huh. Yet. Sure. Yeah, the word is yet.
Yet. But yeah, so that I'll do that. But if I start off with an 8, I'll probably regret that decision immediately.
Oh. You can come back. You can come back from it.
And then I think we're planning on one more episode before. Or did you?
Yeah, we
do
can
it
do
after?
It before. It would be cool to bring on somebody playing in the event. Learn some more about them. We did talk about bringing Levi on, so he. I did mention it to him, and he said he'd be keen. So that'd be quite cool to dive into the mind of a young upcoming disc golfer, really, who's got.
But he's only 16, and this goes for
himself. Yeah. Hey, to be fair, the legal age for New Zealand and everything is 16. So.
Yeah. All right, we're good to go.
We just can't talk about drinking because that's 18 in New Zealand.
He
plays disc golf. No, he's been around drinking. He's fine.
Oh, true story.
But yeah, he said he was keen to have a chat. So like it might be cool. We could be talking. We could that be talking be to yeah, the future New Zealand champion in advance.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully we don't jinx him with the.
Oh my gosh! Right. That'd be terrible. I'd feel personally like that's my fault.
Well, if anybody wants to, you can check out Flexline Media on YouTube and watch the national champs from this year been, and watch the battle that Levi and Jay had on the final round, because it was Levi's to win, and some shit goes down on that back nine, and it's a good watch. That national title should have been his. So.
Ooh. So there's drama. I love how you're setting up some of these like storylines, and like, because I don't know them particularly well, so
yeah.
I love that you were able to like just shout out a bunch of people to watch out for.
Sure, man. I'm a fan, you know what I mean? Like I love Big watching
time. Yeah.
Yeah, I love playing, but I also love watching these battles. So.
Right. Well, that's the best part about disc golfing, right? Is you also, if you're not playing well, you also get to watch
good. If you're on the first card for MPO, you get to watch the last 10 holes of MPO coming.
Right. Plus, you've worked so hard in the background to set up this stage for all of this.
That's what I almost wanted to be like, that extravaganza of battles unfolding on the course. And then because it's disc golf, the crazy thing is that if you get beaten on that final hole, you're still going to shake his hand and be mates, and you're going to say nice shot, because that's what, you know, that's what we do. It's the only sport where you compliment somebody you're playing against regularly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, what you got, Eric? Anything else?
I want to know when Eric changed his headphones, because I fucking missed that.
These headphones were dying, and so I was waiting.
I totally missed it too. And then I thought he was wearing the earbuds still.
Kyle, I wish there was a timestamp when you change that, because I only just noticed now that you don't have the earbuds in anymore.
It was only like a couple minutes ago. It really wasn't too long ago.
Fuck.
Yep. Well, as always, we appreciate you taking your time out of your day to come hang out with us, and we will look forward to chatting with you probably about February, I think.
Dude, again, so much fun. I love chatting with you, dude.
Sweet. I love chatting with you boys, too.
It's really cool to just hear everything that you have going. I appreciate your brain, and I appreciate that you are in the sport, because we need people like you.
Thanks, boys. So,
yeah, man. But yeah, we'll see you soon. Catch you before it start, or
before the big one. The Sick. Big one.
Yeah, we'll try to aim like a couple weeks ahead of time, so that way you're not like also planning, you know, getting so close to where it's just going to be crazy for you to try to take the extra.
I can spare an hour for you, boys. Easy peasy. I'm sure Levi can too. We'll get him out of his practice routine.
Yeah, he can like stay up all night.
He's got all the time in the world.
He's like a top grade student at school too. He's not even like, you know, he's
fucking smart then, huh?
He's the whole package, man. It's great.
Yeah,
it's really great.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
But
sweet. Well, I'm looking forward to meeting him, and then just seeing what he does when he comes over to the United States for like the AM World and all that
too.
All of it.
Thanks, boys. It's 4:21 over here, so that's time for another Jack Daniels, I think, and time for a sit down with the daughter.
Good.
Hopefully, you get around in soon.
I'm definitely going to shoot out this evening for one. I think it's too good a day to waste.
And keep on being a good dad, dude.
It looks like it's still nice and sunny.
Well, you just have a good Christmas and a safe break, and hopefully, it doesn't snow too much so you can play some golf.
I'm sure if it's not, it's going to be cold. So I'll play through it anyway.
I think I played it. It was like 15 degrees this morning. So
what's that negative? That's negative something over here.
Yeah, I don't know what it is and what it should. Good Celsius, but
I don't know. You tell me anyway that 33 degrees is just freezing. How that makes sense?
Right.
We're special.
That's what we deal with.
Because America.
It's negative 9 degrees. There we go.
All right. Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It's so fucking cold. Anyway, have a good one, dude. Great to see you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Peace out.
Later, dude.